We're here with the tools that we need for the job. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to episode, is it 79 of Bandwidth and Banter? I believe it
79.
is. Wow. That's crazy. It's amazing. I'm super stoked to be able to do this on my birthday. What great timing. Speaking of great timing, the comedy genius of Ryan G. Wiz was on last week. Holy
Yes.
crap. And
So good.
it was also perfect timing that he was on right after Tarconics and right before this amazing person that we have on today.
It was the stars aligned. It
Indeed,
was very
indeed.
excellent.
So guys, first of all, thanks again for joining us today on our on my part two of the birthday stream. And but more importantly, it's Bandwidth and Banter, and we're interviewing one of our favorite people ever, who we've had on D&D before, and we've had on D&D before too. So without further ado, let's bring on Rusty Tonics RPGs. Hello.
Hello. How's it
Rusty,
going, guys?
please reintroduce yourself, even though everybody here knows you. Let them know.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rusty Tonics RPGs. We kind of changed up the name a little since last I've been here. Super excited. Still doing the same kind of stuff, though. Mostly RPG. Keeping it the same. Consistency is key. So happy to be back. Missed you guys.
Miss
It's been
you.
too long since D&D. I had so much fun.
That was so good.
Same, buddy. Same.
Oh
I
my
cannot
goodness.
wait to see more.
What an honor to have you, sir. Thank you for rejoining us again. And doing it so far in advance, too.
Really quick,
Love advanced
really quick,
planning.
really quick. Shay was right. Mr. L does live on.
Only
What? in your
Star
hearts, I'm
Kitty.
afraid.
Star Kitty wanted me to say, so just like, share my comment, please. So.
Mr. L does live on. I get it now. Thank you, Star Kitty. That's
So sorry,
beautiful.
I just had to. I was like, I must
Totally
listen.
fair.
That was
It's
great.
nice
That
to be back.
was wonderful. All right. So, Rusty, today's conversation topics are a little bit deeper, a little bit more introspective, and we're just gonna hang out and get to know each other even better. Let's kick things off with a simple, tell us what's new in the Apothecary universe, Rusty.
Well, like I said, we did change up the name. We did a little like light rebranding with everything. We kind of updated the overlays, the logos, the merch, the whole thing. So kind of just a
Yeah.
fresh face going on over here as we transition to a new D&D campaign that was actually supposed to be starting this month, but we've had to push it back a little bit as we've had a little bit of a shuffle around in players, and we're currently down a person. So we're just kind of putting that on hold for the time being and focusing on some other stuff, but
Yeah.
The plan campaign's still happening. It's been fun to get up to it. Small Dice, Big Dreams. Thank you, Aves. That is our latest merch item. Small Dice, Big Dreams.
Love it.
Yeah, no, that's about it. We're kind of keeping things normal over here. I've had to lower the schedule a bit and like step down from doing six streams a week to like three or four because the new job got me all kinds busy and all kinds of sleepy when I'm not at work. So we kind of
Yeah.
had to slow things down a little bit over here, but that's
But you
life.
know what? I mean, the fact that you were doing six streams a week, that's so impressive to
Yeah.
me.
Yeah.
I
Yep.
forgot about that for a while, and then I looked back, I was like, oh, that was dumb. No wonder I'm tired.
No wonder you're tired, yeah.
And you
No
do like
wonder I'm
what?
sleepy.
And when you stream, you do like 5, 6 hour bouts, right?
Sometimes. Other times I do about three, and that's
Yeah.
usually my happy zone. But I was also unemployed all winter, because I had parted from the cleaning company I was at, and I was like, you know what? I'd rather not have to go to work in the middle of the night in snowstorms. So, like, let's just chill for a couple months and stream full time. It was really fun.
Yeah.
And we loved it. I felt spoiled. So
I was too. I appreciated everyone coming by and supporting all the time. It was pretty sweet having a consistent thing. We are keeping some of the days, like Wednesdays are going to be the same. We're going to keep the nostalgia day going, but everything else is kind of loosey-goosey flexible right now.
I mean,
Gotcha.
that's okay. You're in that transition period. It's what you gotta do sometimes.
No Playing it by
watch.
ear.
What's been the highlight of the last year? And or your biggest success story?
There's a couple.
Go for it. Share them, share them, share
The first one predominantly is we finished our D&D campaign, which was the first campaign I've ever, as a DM, seen to completion. I know most of the people in the party. It was the same for them. I'm sure Ryan's probably ended a campaign or two, but it went out in pretty spectacular fashion. We had like three guests on the finale. It was really,
Yeah.
like the culmination of several years of dedication and work from the players and myself. So that one felt really good. That was a
Yeah.
pretty big highlight. I'm kind of in the point now, like how do I top that? And I have to focus on not trying to top it and just doing something new. So that like was such a high point. I wondered how I'd be able to follow it up. And then just like personal high point was meeting my girlfriend through streaming and the community that we kind of formed around each other, and that's been really
Yeah.
wonderful. I've got to go and see parts of the states I've never seen before. I got to meet like Tark and Jenna and all the homies there. So those would be the two very pinnacle of like professional and personal highlights this year. New
Oh,
job, coming in close second. Has been
nice.
loving that. Been loving that
Nice.
too.
That's so cool.
Yes.
I love that so much.
Those are great examples of highlights and successes.
I also met Aves, my bestie, and JTB, my other bestie. So, but that's a couple years now.
Oh, in real life?
Not yet. Just
Okay.
like over streaming and everything. That was a highlight. It was getting closer with all the homies too. So that's
Oh
like
yeah.
hovering near the top as well. Been
So,
good. Homies. The homies.
digging a little deeper, a little bit tougher of a question. What has been your biggest struggle this last year?
Maintaining consistency on just like balancing my stream, my mental health. That was a bit of a tough one, especially in recent weeks where I'm finding my social batteries or emotional batteries, whatever you want to call it, are being drained a lot more at work, where I'm working with some like very high attention kids that you need to put all of your mind powers into taking care of. And it's been tough. It's been a bit of an emotional roller coaster this year, but we're kind of coming through the other side. But yeah, biggest struggle was that, and then losing a player after our campaign ended hit me pretty big. And we're kind of still turning around from that, but we wish them all the best, and everything's kind of moving forward in a healthy and more constructive direction. So that's good.
Right
Yeah,
on.
definitely. Yeah,
Yeah,
up
kids
there.
are definitely when you gotta put that focus. I know Rex was like, yeah, head nodding, like eyes wide, like, oh my goodness. Especially like when you're not their parent and you're like the cool person that they want to follow around and talk to you and talk to you and talk to you and talk to you and talk to you, and they don't want to listen to anybody else, and they just want to hang out with you and know what you're doing, and you're just like,
So I find that's it with the younger kids. Like I find I actually enjoy that more, because like I work with a lot of like one of the clients I work with is quite a bit younger, and it's been great working with them. I can't go into details because
Yeah,
confidentiality and
absolutely.
stuff, but
Yeah, absolutely.
it's been truly wonderful. But also little kids have no filter, and they'll just say whatever pops into their crazy, crazy little head, and it's usually pretty funny. Sometimes it's a little mean. A little kid grabs your beer gut and goes pregnant, and you're like, "No, not that. Thank you, little man." Yeah, that was funny. That was a good one. I reassessed the confidence level after that. And then I've worked with some teenagers, and I find I don't enjoy that quite as much because the teenagers are very much like, "Leave me alone. Don't talk to me. Let me sit in my room and play video games." And I'm like, "Okay, that's what you want to do, but I'll work a whole 8 hours and say like two words to the client I'm working with." I'm like, okay, I got paid 8 hours to do nothing. I did paperwork this whole shift. So I definitely prefer to work with like the younger kids. I found that's been very emotionally rewarding, but like where a lot of these kids are coming from tough backgrounds, it's been emotional. So like keeping my mental health good has been the biggest struggle this year.
Well,
yeah.
We applaud you for what you're doing. It's not an easy thing to do, and I think it's incredible. And you're the perfect kind of person to do it because you're just a light and a joy. And
I try. I try. I have less patience for my coworkers. Let me tell you. Let me tell you.
Adults
I have infinite
everything.
Patience for the kids, but I swear I've been telling coworkers off left and right.
Adults ruin everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, you needed you need a sick death stroke on him.
That would be cool.
But behind him, guys, he's got this glowing mask of Deathstroke. It's really badass looking. See,
that's the first time it's ever looked like he's just kind of sitting on my shoulder. Like he's right behind me, isn't he? That's my dude. Suck till they don't. Fair. Yeah, no, that's accurate.
True. sorry. That's funny. Rusty, what's your greatest fear?
Oh, just crippling fear of inadequacy, like 100%, 100%, like constant. Am I good enough? Am I doing enough to make a name for myself, to achieve the things I want to do? Yeah, and it's just, yeah, that's it. That's like just fear of not being good enough and not being able to accomplish the things I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with obscurity. I'm not afraid of obscurity, but like on my way to obscurity, I want to make sure I'm doing my best at becoming obscure. You know what I mean? Like if I'm going to go that road, I'm going to do it with 100% of my gusto.
Well, on that note, just straight up constructive philosophical thinking, in reality, then your goals are actually pretty easy because if your goal is to be successful, it's at you know making your mark. All you have to do is move forward, right? And as you move forward, you'll have successes that will you know propel you to other successes, and that's how you face that fear. And so a lot of people don't necessarily get to face their fears every day. Mm-hmm. And so I applaud you for that because, you know, you're literally facing your fears all the time. And if you keep doing that and you get into that habit of that, it's going to make you incredibly powerful. Like,
I try. Mostly I just want to make sure I'm doing like the most I can for the people that are around me and making sure everyone's in a good spot when I can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, though, you got to take care of you, too, and let other people lift you up, too. You're amazing.
That's what the little kids are for. They make me feel so good. They're so sweet.
They're the best. Like I literally, when we were talking to Ryan, you know, you know, the conversation got brought up where I'm like there's the adults hanging out talking about adults things, and then there's me hanging out with the kids throwing Arby's in a gross pool because that's way more fun than talking about. Yeah, I'm gonna buy a house and we're gonna get married. And no, I'd rather talk about how good my aim is when I throw Orbeez at kids. Like, that's what I'd rather talk about.
You know? Love Orbeez. Orbeez are a big hit with the children, I gotta say.
What's the
Orbeez? They're so fun.
Tiny little hyper water absorbent balls that are like microscopically big. And then when you put water in them, they go boop and they pop up to about like small paintball size, maybe a little smaller than that.
And they have a really weird squishy texture.
Yeah, kids love them.
Yeah. When you use them for like texture, like sensory boxes and stuff like that, they're fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a sensory toy for sure. I love Orbeez.
I love them. And they are so much fun.
Truth, 100%.
Sensory boxes. For some reason, I'm reminded of like the kinds of not the professional ones you go pay money to haunted houses during Halloween, but the like run by a school or a church or something, and you go in that one section for the kids, and they have like a bowl of things, and they're supposed to like be blindfolded and touch it. It's supposed to be like eyeballs or brains.
Basically, yep. I'm gonna derail really quick. So I grew up, you know, my brother has autism. And he was doing a lot of like occupational therapy, like when we were growing up, occupational speech therapy and all that. And so I grew up with those, like having those like sensory boxes where there would be like rice in one, beans, like different shaped beans in another. And it was literally just to help learn how, like to teach how to to not be overwhelmed and be desensitized to different textures and stuff like that. So I grew up with having these like sensory things. So anytime I have like a tactile sensory thing that I can just like fondle, it's fantastic.
Absolutely. They are very popular, especially with the autistic children, like the one I work with several myself, and they love a little bin of funny textures to play with. Like, it's just, it's right up there at the top of the things they enjoy.
You just set the, honestly, the best.
You heard it here today, folks. Druid likes to fondle texture.
I do. I really do. It's fantastic. Except like the microfiber cloths. There's certain textures I cannot do, but I'm just
microfiber cloths are horrible. I use them to clean all the time. They're the
worst. Yeah. Those, it's like they feel like they want to stick to your hand or something.
If I put my hand on it and I lift it up and it sticks to my, I'm good.
Fair. Valid.
But
I like the tangents. That's the whole point of this more loose and open conversation style. But getting back on track here, Rusty, what do you value most in a friendship?
Loyalty, easily. That is first and foremost the main thing that I look for in people I social with, and not like, oh, I did something for you, now do something for me. Not like that. Just people that I know when the chips are down will have my back when I need them to. And like, some people don't like conflict, so that's not even necessarily like standing up for me or anything like that. It's just people who have my best interests at heart. And that's the same thing I try to give to all of my friends, where I'm trying to make sure that they're all covered. And that's the kind of give and take I kind of look for. I feel like I have found that in spades with my people, with all of the community over here. They've all been wonderful.
Let's go.
So have you guys. It's been great.
Same. It's amazing. Rusty, go ahead, Druid. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, Rusty's under the protection of Stormkeep. If anybody ever harms.
And it's amazing.
All the banners.
all the banners. We shall mobilize. It's amazing.
The apothecary is just right across the street, and we just intertrade with each other all the time. Works out great.
Oh yeah, the great trader is fantastic. Are you gonna say, Stormy?
I mean, well, on that same kind of tangent that you're already on, Drew and I have teased that we want to eventually get rich enough so that we can make an actual Stormkeep castle, and that nearby will be Ryan's purple house on Hill.
Yes.
He can live
we're gonna buy a castle. That's the goal.
There's a lot of those on the market right now. Pretty easy to find, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
We got this covered. That Minecraft experience. We can just build one. Fine.
We did.
Totally.
But one of my favorite customers ever actually lives in a castle close to me. He actually lives in a fucking castle.
Is it one of those houses that looks like a castle, or did someone actually pull a castle down from Europe, bring it to the U.S.
They built a castle.
Okay.
But it's a house castle.
Okay.
But it has like they do like open houses where you could go and like check out the castle.
Huh.
It was kind of a thing here too in Montreal. Actually, a lot of like really rich people came over and started building these almost like castle palace like buildings. Just along the like St. Lawrence River, it's insane.
It's wild.
I mean, if I had the money, I'd do it. Goddamn, give me my castle or like a little cottage in the woods, actually. But
yeah,
happy with that.
Yeah,
that would be nice. But yeah, what you're describing is the homie homestead, and we're already working on it. Everyone's just gonna buy up some land. And we're all gonna live really close to each other.
The homie homestead.
I love it.
What a love that.
All right, so that means that wherever we buy our castle needs to be near the near your homie homestead.
Yeah, we're mobile. We can move. We're good.
Oh, okay.
We
got this. Okay.
We'll have like RV hookups and everything too. Let's go.
We'll need to buy like 50 acres to build the castle and people's houses and. But a grand dream. I love it.
One day. One day.
And I want to thank you for sharing what you value most in a friendship. And you're right. Like a loyalty, the way you put it, it's not just like loyalty. Like, you know, it's basically you want to lift up your friends the way they lift you up. You know, you want them to be happy.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Just I talk shit to have... your face. Sorry, go ahead.
Exactly. It's just like people who have their best interests. Like Kieran in chat here. You guys have probably, we go back and forth with each other constantly. There's entire streams we've done where we're just screaming at each other, just yelling nonsensical stuff. And it's great time. We truly love our little chaotic things. But I know when the chips are down, like Kieran will throw down. Kieran will drop that ban hamper faster than anybody in my stream. Like, dude's got it on lockdown. He's like, bam!
Yeah, 100%. Talk shit to your face, defend you behind your back, like, 100%.
And, absolutely. You know. He'd draw that katana for any of us, IRL.
A little hard on his old joints now, but he's still pretty nimble for his age.
Don't be teasing about old now. You'll make me laugh.
Love you, Kieran.
Love you, Kieran. Old man. Did you just wake up from a nap, old man?
It's good. We have a good relationship.
Subby J! Look at those 5 gifted subs.
Let's my God, do. Seriously? Thank you. Arigato gozaimasu. I appreciate you, Subby J. You made my day. Thank you. Lots what an awesome birthday gift. She dropped some the other day too. So it's like 10. Wow. Thank you. Uh-oh.
What? Survival's Gaming. I know, that was so funny.
What?
Survival's Gaming said, is Kieran the name of the retirement home or the streamer? JK, JK.
Oh my God, that's funny.
That is so funny. Thank you, Survivalist. I love that. All right, Rusty. We're gonna
Me talk, me lord.
Talk.
Oh wow, thanks, Tark.
Look at that hype train that's happening now.
Oh wow.
Oh, okay. We're hype training. Let's go. Woo woo.
Woo woo. Thank you guys for the hype train. Holy crap. I was not expecting this on B&B day. Sorry there's no
happy birthday
sound associated with it today. We try and avoid that on B&B day and D&D day.
Understandably so.
Basically, when I stream from this PC, where's the cake? Oh. I demand cake. Yes, I made sure there was some at the store near you. Just pop on down. You might have to pay a small fee to get it.
Small delivery, small service fee. Absolutely understandable.
Yeah.
They have all the flavors too. It's like,
it's so cool. Be nice to your cake decorators nearby. Their hands hurt. Just know that.
That's true. Yeah. 100%. 100%. Piping bags are a pain in the ass. Not a fan.
You've done that?
Yeah. Yeah. I've tried.
You guys have that in common.
I've never done it professionally, but I've baked before and like, damn, piping bags suck.
They are awful. They are awful. I used to cake decorate when I worked in the grocery business. And let me tell you, I can't use controllers anymore for long periods of time because of the damage that has happened to my hands because of it. But I've made some cool stuff.
I've decorated like 2 cakes and it ended up with like horrible cramping by the end of it. Like, it's not pleasant.
Yeah.
Don't recommend.
It is the worst. Do not recommend unless you are so passionate. Don't do it just
unless the decorating of cakes is your only reason for existing.
Fate.
I'm not even going to acknowledge that. I had to go to the doctor because of my thumb pain from Cuphead.
Thanks, Lee.
There's so much Cuphead. There was so much cups. It's unreasonable how many cups there were.
All right, let's see. Name one thing that was harder this year than you thought it would be, and one thing that was easier.
Fuck. That's tough. Sorry for the language.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Tough was ending the D&D campaign, I will say. 'Cause like as excited as I was to do it, the amount of anxiety and stress and just like it was like the conclusion was such that I was like had trouble letting go of it. We spent 3 years of our lives in that campaign and we all got very attached. I know Ryan will like take Gregory with him to his grave, and there are voices and characters that I brought in that I had trouble saying goodbye to as well. Like it was really hard for me to kind of say goodbye, and like the guys are like, when can we do a little spin-off where we get to revisit those characters? I'm like, guys, we haven't even played other characters yet. Like let's pace it out and let it rest for a while. So that was the big struggle, I will say, is it was hard to say goodbye to something that you put that many hours and years to, like 69 episodes, 3 to 4 hours a piece, bunch of spin-offs. Like it was such a big part of my life, and I'm almost having trouble getting back into the flow of working on a new campaign after that. It's been weird.
You will. I'm confident in you. I believe in you. I think you're an amazing DM and a great storyteller, so I have no doubt.
I appreciate that.
And I totally get what you're experiencing and feeling. I've experienced and felt it many times. The more you do it, the easier that ending is. But I won't kid you and say that, it's always going to be a little bit bittersweet.
Yeah, it was just such a big part of my life and everyone's life that it was really kind of hard to step away. But like in doing so, I got really lucky. You guys had me on a D&D stream. I played a game with Nerdhala and Ryan, and that was super fun. I've gotten just enough D&D that I'm like not fiending just yet. So I'm taking my time getting the new campaign ready. But like, no, I'm missing it a lot. Saying goodbye was hard.
I was gonna say the same thing to you, husband. So yeah, Isles in the Mist was so difficult. Well, because that was my first campaign. My first completed campaign too. But Stormy made sure that we can't revisit those characters because they're trapped in a chat, They're trapped in a crystal somewhere in space and time.
We left our paladin at the bottom of the ocean as a zombie. And that's where we left like our longest term member of the party. That was Chris's character. He didn't miss a single game, and he was with me from day one, the very beginning.
Wow.
And he was the only character who did not like survive the ending, which worked out because he got to play his character's brother, who was like poetically, it really worked and wrapped up together really nice.
Nice.
I'd say something that was easier than I expected it to be was just like actually transitioning to a full-time stream schedule. That was, I expected it to be very hard, and it was at times, not really knowing where my bills were going to get paid from, having to go a little on faith on that was a tough decision, but ultimately once the ball started rolling, I found it rolled pretty well, and I did okay. It was after looking back, I was like, 6 or 7 streams a week is kind of crazy, and that was probably too much. But yeah, that was my income for 3 months straight, and I had a wonderful time doing it. So it was kind of easy stepping into that role and focusing entirely on content. I did towards the end start to miss like having a consistent work schedule where I actually like leave the house and interact with people in real life. That was a hard transition too, just going on things that are hard to do. Transitioning back to having coworkers was a big one because I worked alone as a nighttime cleaner, cleaning spas and veterinarians and stuff alone. And now I'm surrounded by kids and like 4 staff a day, every day. It was a
It's like a
big old adjustment.
big difference between the two.
What a point.
People always want to talk, and I'm like, I'm cool talking with the kids, but once the kids go to bed, I'm very much in like, okay, everybody shut up and let me do my paperwork and just don't talk to me. I can't handle it. It's too much.
I can't.
Yeah, that was a really the first 2 or 3 weeks, like days in particular. Like I would hop in Discord with my girlfriend and be like, can we just hang out in a private chat where no one else can come in? I don't have the ability to handle social interaction right now. That was a big one. What's up, Citrus buddy?
Citrus.
Other highlights this year has been working on some tunes with Sir Citrus. Shout out to making music with the homies.
Is he a streamer?
I love it.
Should we shout him out?
I don't think he streams now or has any intention of doing so.
Well, we're gonna
probably
him
okay on that. Awesome. Give him some love just in case, because he's a good dude. He streamed World of Warcraft once. Yep, there you go. Many, many moons ago.
Love it.
But yeah, no, that's like the easy and difficult things, where easy was streaming full time for a little bit and like getting that step away from working life and the 9 to 5,
mm-hmm.
9 p.m. to 5 a.m., mind you. But yeah, that was a bit. What's up, Kayla? How you doing?
Ooh, so you guys are so
is that
cute.
Somebody's sweetie pie? I think that's somebody's sweetie pie.
I absolutely love how, like, when Kayla pops in, you're like, oh, hi. And then my husband pops in, and I'm like, ah, heck that guy, whatever. Don't listen to him. Don't look at him too long.
Oh, man. I'm quite smitten. Thanks, babe. I hope you're having a good day at work.
Goodness, that's so funny.
Aw, thank you for brightening our Airbnb with your lovey-dovey. I love it.
It's so cute.
No, bashful. Anyway.
Wait, how long have you guys transition. Been together now officially? Like, sorry, I'm going to ask that question like out of turn.
No, that's fine. That's what this is about.
Officially, only a couple months. We've kind of seen each other for a while before that.
Yeah. So you
quite a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I went down last October. So that would probably be where things really got moving, mm-hmm. maybe around July. So it's about a year, a couple months.
It's still such a cute, blossoming relationship. I love it. So what's really funny is, like, Fate and I were talking last night about, like, the beginning of our relationship versus now. And the smitten, the love struck in the beginning, like, it's so fun. It's so cute. It's fun to watch other people just fall in love.
Also, Kayla, you weren't here for it, but you were one of the highlights of my year, just so you know.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You weren't here for that part.
I can confirm he did say that.
Fuck you.
Oh, okay.
Fuck you.
Was that Druid saying that to Fate?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was all a lie.
It was all a lie.
This is what happens after, you know, 8 years together. You're like, hey, get out of my chat. Go away. Get back to work. Why are you here?
Anyways, get back in the kitchen and make me some pie. No, I'm just kidding.
All kinds of bashful and shit. Now we're moving on.
Flutters, the heart flutters. Ugh.
All right. This is a fun question. It digs deep into your psyche. Not really. It's fun. If you were to die and come back as a person or a thing, who or what would it be?
Oh, that's tough. I want to sit, like, I'm gonna be honest, like, mm-hmm. I would be okay with being a sloth, because they kind of just get to live their best adorable hanging from tree lazy life, and that's kind of it. They're just doing their thing, and I kind of like that. After this life, I think I'm due one where I kind of don't do shit all for a little while. You know what I mean?
Sloths hold their poop for, like, weeks and weeks and weeks, and, like, then we'll, like, climb down the tree, like, once every, like, very, very, very rarely, just to take a giant shit. And then climb back up into the tree.
That is the best life someone can live. I'm here for it.
They just have, like, moss and algae just growing on them.
Yeah, as far as I know, like, nothing really eats them. Like, I don't think they have any real natural predators, because they're just kind of useless. And no one, they're so high in the trees. Like, who's going to bother? Second answer would be a platypus, because why not a platypus? You know what I mean? The weirdest thing on earth, and I'm here for it.
I love it. Platypus are pretty cool too.
Mm-hmm. Looks like I was gonna say like a snake or a beardy, but I'm like, nah, sloth. I want to be a sloth.
I think that's a really unique choice, and I love it. I think it's.
I just want to chill. I really just want to chill for a little while.
I agree. Sloths are so cute.
How about you, Druid?
Jaguars, ocelots, harpies, eagle, and harpy eagles
okay
are the top
it.
Hunters.
I'm well, okay with it.
Have you seen how big a harpy eagle is?
Quite, I'm assuming.
Theirs wingspan's like 6 feet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or some crazy number. Like, I'm they okay with are that. Huge. And they just have that amazing, like, fucking fat. Oh, God. So cool. They are huge.
Okay. I'd like love to them. Reassess my answer and say a sloth at a zoo.
There you go. That is the perfect. Nailed wow. It. Like, if you just want to have a chill life where you get to do nothing, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Rusty the sloth. I'm good with
and
it.
People just show up and then you can just like hang out with people that are like fawning over you. 100%. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They'll feed me. I'm cool with it. Let me be a sloth for a life cycle. I'm good with it.
What would I want to be?
Oh, I already know what she'd want to be. She'd want to be a coffee mug.
Actually, no. No, I would not want to be a coffee mug. I feel like coffee mugs are the most abused utensils in the kitchen.
They do see a lot of use.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they're also the most like just kind of like easily discarded. I don't know, but
the same token, some coffee mugs become like a favorite like warm thing that you never want to get, you know, like have a personal attachment to it, right? Like
I have my favorite coffee cup. It has a crack in it, you know, it's beat up. But then there's coffee mugs that sit in my cabinet and never touched. Like there's like no in between. It's either you have your favorite coffee mug or you're just left to die alone in a dark cabinet. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be a coffee mug.
No, I'm good.
I can see it. I guess that if that's the way you see it. I saw it as a coffee mug gets lots of attention and it's constantly filled with one of the things that you love the most.
Mm-hmm. I will say I have that favorite mug that I have like had for the last 5 years or more. Mm-hmm. Been with me the whole time. All of the labels are coming off and everything. My Dragon Ball Z logo's gone on it, but it's still there.
I do have a collector's Kieran coffee mug.
Love nice.
This is Aria.
Never get rid of that.
Mm. Yeah. This is an Aria coffee mug. And it lives right here on my desk.
This is baby Aria.
It lives here on my desk. But, you know, if I could actually be reincarnated into anything, I don't know. I think I said a tree last time.
Yeah. You did say a tree last time.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm going to change my answer. I think that would be super cool.
Oh, okay.
What about Stormy?
That answer does change for me from time to time. Every time we have this interview and this question at once a month, I'm like, wonder what I would want to be or do this time. Because I'm fickle.
It varies based on the day. Understandable. Exactly.
Yeah.
Moods are very influential, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Today I'm a sloth. Tomorrow I'm a platypus. Who knows? Who knows what the day after brings?
Today I'm a tree. Tomorrow I'm a different tree.
I'm a tree. I'm a houseplant. I'm both a tree and a houseplant. It's great. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You
know? Or I think the only other thing I would probably say it would be some sort of bird. Because I just love birds so much.
Fair.
I love them. I wouldn't want to be a parrot. I would probably want to be like a crow.
Yeah, I would agree. That's sick.
Or like a little chickadee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Anyways, and what are some of your goals and plans for this year, Rusty?
Oh, I honestly am flying so much by the seat of my pants right now that I don't know if I have any long-term goals. Short-term, I would like to get the D&D campaign that we're planning up and running by like October, November-ish is kind of the goal there. And I honestly, my goal for that is to have the level of character immersion that the players had in the last one. I want to see everyone kind of connecting with their characters the same way. And the goal is to create a world where people are going to have as much fun as they had in my last one. So the pressure's on a little bit for that. Other than that, I'm just like, I want to continue working where I'm working and moving up in the company, but not stepping into management because I don't want that responsibility. I'm good. They've already offered me 3 management positions and I've been there 2 months. Wow. I have zero experience in childcare. I was a janitor. I was a janitor at an elementary school at night. I didn't see kids. I didn't work around kids at all. So it's yeah, no, I just like, I want to continue providing good childcare to the kids I work with, but not being the guy they go to all, solve all their problems.
Yeah, no, management's never really fun. It ruins everything.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. but I mean, somebody's got to lead, and you're just an exceptional human being. It doesn't matter that what you did before was a janitor. You're smart and capable and compassionate, and I think those are the qualities that job needs. So, you know.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I try.
I have a question though. Are you mm-hmm. planning on using the same world as before for your next D&D campaign, or are you starting completely from scratch?
We built an entire new continent from the ground up. We streamed it for quite a bit too. Probably get back on those sooner or later once the schedule works out. But yeah, I thought about just moving it to a different place on the continent, but I think my ADHD was like, I want something new to have fun with.
100%.
New toy time. So we've been mm-hmm. building this whole new world, which we've called Verosia. It's very spoopy, kind of creepy. We kind of drew a little bit of inspiration from like the Curse of Strahd campaign and some other horror elements outside of D&D that we're trying to tap into.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And yeah, we're going to be having a lot of fun with that. So yeah, we built it all just for the campaign.
Cool.
Kind of all centered around them. It's going to be more like political focused with like different trade companies vying for power on kind of a new world. So we're kind of going with a new world kind of vibe for it.
I love it. I love it.
I do too.
I'm very excited.
From what I've seen of the art style and some of the crafting and world building from that the streams that you did, I'm impressed and can't wait for it. I'm super excited.
I can't wait. I really like, despite the loss of a player and me kind of taking a step back, because that did really take the wind out of my sails. I was really upset about that. I felt it was good to take a break and kind of look back at it. And I've already seen some things I want to fix and kind of improve and mess around with. And yeah, mm-hmm. we're testing out some new homebrew rules that I'm kind of wanting to experiment with. And we're incorporating Ooh. Like disease and plague and all kinds of different horror elements. It's going to be pretty intense.
I love it.
A lot darker than our last one. I think our last one, I based it on a cartoon that I developed in film school because we had to write a show or pitch for a show. I wrote a cartoon called The Adventures of Dandy Dandor. He was just a lovable, but albeit very stupid, barbarian-esque character. Kind of like Conan, but like if Conan was just the friendliest person on Earth. And the whole thing was like he tried to avoid violent situations. And ended up getting into them no matter what he did. And that was the whole thing. So I based that campaign in that world. It was all played in my cartoon that I had developed. That's why our last campaign was so ridiculous. We had weird talking Pegasus and all kinds of different fantastical stuff. And
yeah.
This time we're stepping very much away from that and going for like a just slightly pre-industrial era kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. Where like industrialization has begun to creep into society and, you know, factories are pouring smoke into the sky 24/7 type vibes. It's going in very industrial London kind of feel.
So almost steampunk for some of the cities. Cool.
Almost. We were getting, I would say, steampunk adjacent because I don't mm-hmm. know enough about steampunk or the culture around it or anything to comfortably say it's steampunk. But there's definitely some like mechanical advances happening and new power sources being experimented with and stuff like that. So yes, I'd say steampunk adjacent, just
steampunk right inspired
by. Yeah mm-hmm. it would be if I knew anything about steampunk. I'll be honest, it's a world I'm completely unfamiliar with. I think Fable 3 kind of touched on some steampunky vibes a little with the whole industrial revolution stuff, but yeah, I'm not super familiar with steampunk in and of a whole, so I'm gonna probably have to do some research there. But we do have a tram. Great. There's like a straight up underground tram that traverses a mountain range. So it feels a little steampunky now that I'm talking about it.
I mean, what Oopsie. Really is steampunk though? Besides mm-hmm. cool and industrial.
Well, all right. So this is our last regular question of the chat today, the talk today. So for the last question of Rusty Tonic's talk, what do you want people to know about you, Rusty Tonic's RPGs?
Oh God, that's tough. I recently became a croc enthusiast. I don't know if that's important, but we love crocs now. That's a thing. that's a big one. I don't know if there's anything I want people to know per se. I'm a pretty open book with the community about stuff. Just overall, I think. I just want people to know if they approach me with kindness and respect, they will see or receive the same thing tenfold at every opportunity. Shout out to Crocs. Yes, shout out to Crocs. 10 out of 10.
Okay,
Crocs.
Question though. Like, why Crocs? What is it about Crocs?
I don't know. I hated them. They look stupid as hell. Not a fan. I'm like, those are dumb. And I started working with kids and going to lakes and pools, and I was tired of always having to take my shoes off and change. So I'm like, I'm gonna put goddamn Crocs on my feet. And here we are now. It's great. I can just walk right into the water with my Crocs on. Not getting my feet cut by little rocks. Wonderful.
Hmm.
Yeah. Plus, they're like, you can accessorize them. Let's go.
I'm not judging Crocs. I just hate shoes in general.
I'm judging Crocs. Yes. But I do prefer being barefoot, even like when I'm wearing my like my Van slip-ons. I'm like sock free all the time. Not a fan.
Yeah.
I don't like the way sandals feel either, though. So I'm kind of just stuck. But at least I can wear these in the lake and stuff. And that's probably the big appeal there. They do have different kinds of Crocs. This is true. There is a diverse range of Crocs.
Yeah. I support people liking Crocs, okay? I'm never going to shit talk that. I just hate shoes in general. And I'm just curious why people like Crocs.
If you're going to wear something ugly, they better be comfortable, and they nailed it. They really did. The comfort is there. The look may be a little off, but damn, are they comfortable. Gotta say. Yeah. No, and then, like, on a serious note, things I like people to know about me is just, like, I don't generally care what people believe or what they do in their free time. As long as someone is treating me with respect and kindness, they will be getting that back every single time. And that's really the big thing with me.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah. I think that's great. I think that's fantastic. We do have a couple questions already lined up from people in chat. Mm-hmm.
Before we jump to them, don't forget, guys, this is that point where we share links. Go support Rusty Tonic's RPGs. Give him your follows and your biddies and your subs to help keep him on Twitch forever and ever.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm never leaving.
Good.
You can't get rid of me.
Good.
Might be stepping away on occasion when I get burnt out, but we'll always be back.
We can totally get that.
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys having me and shout me out and stuff. It's always a pleasure to be here. Love you guys.
We have to. We have to spread the love and shine light on great people. You know, that's the whole point of this. And
what she said.
I love it. We love you. We appreciate you.
I'm happy to be here for officially the second time on B&B and third time on Stormy Stream. It's been a privilege every single time. Truly.
Thank you.
Tarkonix asks for Rusty, how do you feel about that Dark Souls 1 first playthrough poses as a medical remedy for a stressful life?
Yeah, there's a big backstory there. So I used to have like a sub wheel where if someone subbed, we'd spin a wheel and they'd get like, oh, request a game to play on stream and I'll buy it and play it. Those little things like that. Eat a nasty flavored jelly bean. Tark landed on pick a game. Mind you, this was like a day or two after my ex-fiance and I split, and I was going through the emotional ringer, and he's like, I think this will distract you. Here's the fucking hardest game on the planet. Good luck. And I'm gonna be honest, I played it and it worked. There's something weirdly therapeutic about getting your ass handed to you in repeat on Dark Souls, because I'm sitting there playing and I'm like, this still isn't as bad. Like, we're good. This is Happy Town. It actually had a weirdly beneficial effect on my mental health. in a truly way. I was presented with such an insurmountable challenge that it completely took my mind off of all the elder bullshit. And like, I spent a month and a half, probably more, maybe 2-3 months and 400 some deaths beating that game. And I will stand by Dark Souls Remastered until my last day. I will not play another Souls game, probably ever, unless it's co-op Elden Ring with my friends, where I can let them carry me through the bosses while I sit in the back with a little arrow and just pew, pew.
I will say with the Elden Ring seamless co-op,
so good.
It is fantastic, but we have noticed that it is very difficult. Like, it doesn't work very like that well with three people. It works best with two.
Why is that?
Because we had so many more issues and glitches the first time when it was me, Fate, and BT. But then when it was just me and BT, and then when it was Fate and BT, like, it just was so much smoother. We had a lot less glitches and stuff, especially with, like, you know, invasions and stuff like
that. Oh, okay. Ah,
gotcha.
Yeah, so with three people, it definitely gets a little on the funky side. It's still doable, definitely still playable and super fun nonetheless, but it definitely is more steady with just the two, which is normally what I do anyway, like JTB, just JTB and I, who is like one of my newest players. He's joining us full time for our campaign this time around. So we got a new one and we lost one, but he's my like Souls guy. He plays all of them. He loves them. I like letting him carry me through them. So here we are. But yeah, I will replay Dark Souls 1 anytime. Sometimes I boot it up in my free time. But I don't see me ever playing another one.
Understand. I do get it. When I played that first person perspective Dark Souls 3, I enjoyed it for a while, but then you know, I got to the swamp and I was like, okay, I'm done.
I'm done with this. This sucks. I don't want to be here anymore. That's completely valid. Yeah. No. Super good games, though. Like, can't take anything away from the quality.
Yep. Next question, Extirpate Fate asks, Rusty, if this has not already been answered, or what was exciting part about building the character you played with is in Dragon Metal Saga?
Oh, that was easy. Learning about the world Stormy had built. Like, we sat down and you laid out all the different worlds I could be from. And you're like, here's the details, play around with them. And as soon as you were like, this one has gladiators and stuff, I was like, I'm sold. That's the one. That's the spot right there. I got to learn all about the world Stormy was developing and how I could make a character to fit in that appropriately. And everyone knows I love a fighter. Probably my favorite class, if not like one of. So I was like, gladiator, fighter with a shield and a spear or a trident. It makes sense. It just works. And I got to give arguably the coolest D&D speech I have ever given. Like, that was great.
Thank you.
So good.
I had lines to memorize. And as someone who like took acting in school and was like worked in film and went to film school and all that, while I preferred behind the camera stuff, someone hands me a well-written script and like, change things if you need to, he said. I tweaked a little bit just to make it fit with the way I like to speak.
Your shifts, your additions, your changes were perfect, by the way.
I'm so glad. And it was cool. Like, he was literally like, here's what you say when you come in, or here's like a, not even like a note for note script, just like, here's the message you want to get across. I was like, perfect. And I wrote out stuff. I spent time memorizing it in the mirror. It felt like I was back, like practicing lines when I was doing Macbeth and stuff like that. And that to me was super fun. I had so much fun. And I got to play. I got to fight people in the pits with you guys. And that was fucking awesome, too.
It was so good. And like, I still remember, like, I remember, like, because like your face showed up on camera. And I remember going, this is a cool recording. And then you started interacting, and I'm just like, what? And like, Fate and I both were just like, I thought that was a recording before. Because he was saying, this is a new piece of tech, a new piece of tech. Testing out a new piece of tech.
Mm-hmm. new piece of tech. Yeah, that was my other favorite part, was just cooking up the mystery around the appearance and keeping it on the down low without letting you guys know what was happening. Uh-huh. It was so fun. Great time. That's the reaction I got from you guys was also amazing. Everyone was so stoked. Like, people are happy to see me. This is wonderful. This feels great.
So good.
I had so much fun. So much fun. And I'll always, like, never say no to an opportunity to play a very short-lived character who has a very big impact on the party, which I feel I did.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Yep. His name is carved in the back of my character's shield.
I love that. That makes me happy to hear.
Remembrance for like his sacrifice and shit. Like, come on, you give 100%. Fate's character is having like a near mental breakdown still over it. Like, it's fantastic.
It's okay. He did what he had to do, guys. It's all good. I had so much fun. I also watched an ungodly amount of Spartacus preparing for that entire thing just to get in the vibes. I'll stand by that show till I die.
Listen, same. Such a great show. Such a great show.
Yeah, no, probably just getting to learn the stuff. That would be my number one.
Absolutely. So good. Kayla asks, Rusty, who has been some of your favorite D&D guest stars?
It's very hard for me to pick a favorite because, like, everyone's been wonderful. We had a truly amazing cast of guests come onto the stream. We had the twins, Sam and Rebecca, make an appearance, which was wonderful. That was in our first and only, I guess we did two, it was like a two-parter, but that was like live in person at the table D&D stream. And we had never done that before. So like that overall was such a memorable event that stands at the top. But we had Tark come in and play Girthmog the Sickness alongside JTB, who played Firegrim the Small. And together, they did such a wonderful job of bringing those characters to life and making them interesting for people and going on tangents I never thought were possible. But there's also like straight up honorable mention to Kieran, who, having never really played D&D apart from a one-shot with me in Discord, joined a full-fledged D&D campaign right at the end in some of the most climactic moments we had, like dragon attacking a city level shit, and he handled himself truly expertly. Like, I would have guessed he had been playing for his entire life at that point. Citrus as well made a fan favorite character. Like, people absolutely adored what Citrus brought to the table as well. I think everyone's done a wonderful job of bringing something of their own to each guest. And I can't pick a favorite, but some of the moments that stood out were having the twins for live action, having Tark and JTB. Even like we had a one-off guest named Brooks, who is a friend of Hell's Corp, who's one of my full-time players. He made a character whose name I did not know how to pronounce until the stream. I thought it was Bophades. It was Bophades. And I'm like, okay, that's a cool name for a Kenku. His name was Bophades.
Bophades.
I was about to say, it's Bophades, like, right?
Bophades nuts. And I don't know why, I just didn't compute that until like the very moment he said his character's name on the stream. And I was like, you motherfucker. Like, I just lost it. Completely broke down. We've had some truly wonderful, wonderful moments. And everyone brought so much to the table. I love them all so much.
Here's a fun little question from Spiper.
Thank you for the biddies.
Rusty, what is your cookie of choice?
White chocolate macadamia nut from Subway. Easy choice. That's straight up easy. Could not be an easier decision.
That's an interesting choice. Those are really yummy.
Shout out an Oreo. I'm good with that. I love those cookies. I will go buy like three of them just because. Absolutely fantastic. Or like Peak Freens, like the little cream fill with a little bit of jelly on top. 10 out of 10. That might be a Canadian one, though.
How about you, Drew? What's your cookie of choice?
Listen, a really good chocolate chip cookie, but they have to have like dark chocolate chips, yeah, right? I'm either classic, or it's like a peanut butter cookie with chocolate chips. Like a peanut butter cookie where like you bake it, and then like partway through you add a Hershey's Kiss on top as it's baking. Peanut butter blossom. Or like the brownie crackle game. Top cookies. I like chocolate peanut butter combo a lot. I
chocolate
love
peanut
butter.
Solid. You can't go
it's
wrong.
It's a solid combo. Or chocolate mint, but like I don't like warm mint. I like mint ice cream, like chocolate mint ice cream. But I don't like hot mint so much. So it's like chocolate chip cookie, but
I've never tried the Hershey Kiss on the peanut butter cookie. That is going to be next on my cookie making. 10 out of 10. Highly recommend.
10 out of 10.
That sounds great.
I can send you a recipe. I actually have a recipe.
Please do. Give me all the recipes.
It's actually was a gift. I have a hand towel. Grandma's peanut butter cookie recipe. And it's actually.
I love that. Oh my God. That's amazing.
I keep it next to me on my desk next to my Good. Other super special hand towel that I will not show on the stream right now because
what's the hand towel, Druid?
Now what we're is super it? Curious.
Now I'm scared.
Oh, that one.
Truly the best hand towel I've ever seen in my life. 10 out of 10. Okay, what's up, Brian? Oh God, that's good. Okay, yeah. Jesus.
So. They sit side by side on my desk.
I'm so happy.
Sir Citrus asks, Rusty, thoughts on the updates on the player's handbook and classes overall? Is there potential to use outdated class features in the new campaign? Updated, not outdated. Updated class features.
I'm a level with y'all. This is a DM confession. I've never read the original player's handbook for 50 or the DM's guide or any other piece of published material. Everything I know about D&D, I learned from watching other people play it. So I don't have any input on the changes because I don't know what they are. And yeah, I'm sure they're fine. I'm sure they're fine. As far as I know, the plan is to stick with what we know from 50. But like I'm easy. Like if people want to bring some of the new stuff to the table and be like, I think this is cool, I'm gonna be completely fine with that because I'm open. I think some of the changes have been positively talked about just from what I've heard through extension. There's some classes that got really, really nice. We're kind of even going back a little bit with some, like we have a Drake Warden Ranger. Who instead of giving like an animal spirit or like a pet Drake, I'm giving him a baby dragon. Like it's a thing. I don't really like this whole new ranger thing where it's like you summon a spirit of the wild and it can just disappear and come back. In the ranger himself, JTB, we also discussed like the opportunity or potential of losing your ranger pet would be such a definitive and heartbreaking moment for a character that we didn't want to rob him of that. And he's like, I don't even know what the hell I'd do if that happened. And I'm like, I guess you become a fighter or you train a new pet and you branch off in other directions. And like, so we're kind of actually going back even like pre-Tasha's with the Ranger class. So kind of just going with a widespread of rules and playing it as we go.
I love
that's
that.
Kind of my favorite way to do it anyway. I know some of the new Druid stuff sounds pretty cool though. So. I'll have to check it out.
I think it's an amazing coincidence that one of your players in your new campaign created a Drake Warden Ranger. Because Starkitty Shay character is a Drake Warden Ranger. And the fact that both you and I came to the same conclusion, we're going to make a variant of it because we don't like the way the mechanics work as is. Instead, she has the little purple dragon kitty that hangs out with her and transforms into the dragon for a certain number of rounds and then goes back to being the kitty.
Totally awesome way to handle that. I absolutely think that's perfect as well. Yeah, and that's what I love about D&D is like, yeah, there's rules, but like you can also just use your common sense to change those rules.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
Rules are meant to be broken anyway. Who cares?
Exactly. The only rule we don't break is the rule of cool, dude.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, no. I'm just like, I want people to have fun and whatever character they bring to the table. That's cool with me for the most part. There's only like two races I don't allow at my table. Mm-hmm. And that's just because I don't understand them all that well.
Oh, really? Like one is like now I'm curious. Kalish, what are those?
I think it was Kalish Tar was one I just don't generally have. And Simic Hybrids from, can't remember where those came from. Shit. But those are kind of the two, just because they don't really fit with the lore and the established stuff that we have going in the campaign. Other than that, everyone, players know they can make whatever they want. You want to make a centaur? That's totally cool, too. Just understand that not everyone has centaur-friendly buildings, and you may run into some difficulty in places, like stuff like that. I'm probably outing myself a bit as a DM, saying I've never read the DM's guide, but here we are, a full campaign 3 years later in the books, so I think I'm doing okay.
You know, I've also have never read the player's handbook.
Don't need to. All the stuff's on the paper and the stat sheets. You're good. And most of the rules I kind of, like, I picked up by learning through watching, like, Critical Role and, like, other professional D&D streams. Mm-hmm. Mostly Critical Role, I'll be honest. Like, that was such a huge part of my life when I was, like, working overnights. I just put on episodes and play. Also, like, instructional videos. All very helpful. I don't like reading. I don't find I learn well from reading. I love, like, Lord of the Rings and sitting down and reading a fantasy book is one thing, but trying to read a textbook, what amounts to a textbook, just doesn't really do it for me. I'm never really connected brain-wise.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it was also watching, like, High Rollers, Erois. Mm-hmm. That campaign is so cool. And, like, that's also how I learned a lot of the rules and stuff. But also, same thing, yeah, just listening to people talk about the rules.
Yeah, like when you absorb several years of D&D streams, you can kind of pick up the rules just by watching. Like, that's hundreds of hours of absorbing content that just kind of got ended up in my brain. Mm-hmm. So it worked very well for me, and a lot of my rules are kind of homebrewed and worked around as we need to anyway. So
right on. Survivalist Gaming asks, I have a question. If you had to get one tattoo to sum up your memories of Twitch anywhere on your body, what would you choose and where?
What a fantastic question. I love that so much, Survivalist Gaming. Survivalist Gaming is still new to Twitch streaming, and he's doing a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Shout out to Survivalist Gaming.
I'm going to drop a follow. I mean, like, the potion bottle logo that I'm using currently is kind of the vibe. I kind of like it. Or, like, a little D20, something, like a little orange D20, like I'm using in my new logo. Because, like, the whole stream started because we wanted to stream D&D. That's what it's always been about. All of the other stuff has been filler and just ways of me interacting with the community and trying to more or less funnel people towards my D&D content, because that's the content we want to make. So it'd probably be, like, a D20... Or maybe like a little, here's one. Our campaign that we played that we ended, we had a character before we streamed it die, because we probably ran 4 or 5 games before we actually decided to make it stream, make it as a stream. And he just ended up in a combat and some roles went the wrong way for him and his character died. But that character... in his moment of death, because, like, if I'm gonna kill off someone's character, I like to give them a moment, like I had with Lysandros, where, like, they had this big epic send-off where they got their final moments really immortalized, and he technically, you could say, branded his fellow party members / tattooed them, but he was a wildfire druid, and he's like, as my last thing, as they come over to me dying in the sand, because he died during the fight, but it gave him his last words. He just put his hand on them and branded his little spirit snake on them. So he had his little fire spirit tattooed on these guys. And Stanislav, our paladin, repped that tattoo until he was sunk to the bottom of the ocean as a zombie. So probably that, just like this coiling kind of fire serpent up my arm would be pretty sick. Nice. And that would really go over that. Yeah, that would be cool.
Wow, that's so cool. That.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing in the rules for branding your fucking party members. He's like, can I do this? I'm like, yeah, you're dying. Do whatever you want. Like,
nobody's going to argue with you. The only thing that I will never. So BT has let his Twitch chat decide a tattoo for him. And I said, I will never do that. But I would let BT tattoo me if I ever met him in person. So that's how I would immortalize, is just whatever bullshit BT decides, I guess that's going to happen.
I would get tattooed by one of the homies. That would be great.
Yeah.
We love that. Shout out getting tattooed by your friends.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I'd have to go Fire Serpent. I think that would cover it. Or like a D20 or something simple like that.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Kill DG asks, also, hi, Kill DG.
Hi, Kim.
Question: as a person with many, your can you move your cursor from the question in the middle of the question? It really throws me off. My little brain hole sucks. Unhighlight it, please.
Oh my God! Just read it.
As a person with many little things that, as we can see behind you, which is your favorite inanimate object in the room and why?
Oh, that's not fair.
there's so much. Probably the little R2-D2 right there. Yeah, the one on the shelf over my shoulder. He's on the Marshall mini fridge. Not a guitar amp. That's my fridge. Either way, there's a R2-D2 with a baseball cap on and a little beer in his cup holder. That's R2-Beer-2. That's like the unofficial stream mascot guy. And he is a fully functioning robot. If I put batteries in him, he'll like follow me around and you can talk to him and he does stuff. So definitely the R2. Yeah, probably the R2. He has a beer. He has a cup holder with a beer in it. What's not to love?
I love it.
That one's hard to see, but... you can see him. He's just chilling. That's his kind of thing. I would like to get a better camera so you can see more of the background better, but for now it works.
It seems like a good camera.
It's just the Logitech 1080p one. I also have a set of miniature Dragon Balls that are definitely at the top of my list of favorite things, which is funny because I'm not a big anime consumer. But, you know, Dragon Ball goes hard.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does.
It does. It still does to this day.
So
a lot of the kids I work with watch it.
Oh, this is a great question. I think this is actually a perfect question, a perfect person to start wrapping up the show. Although, if you have some questions for us, we would love to chat for a little bit longer. This question comes from your own Kayla Dam. Rusty, what guest star would you love to bring on the show that you haven't yet?
That's tough. That's really hard because there's so many wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people over here. I mean, I'd love to have either of you guys on the stream. I would love to maybe like one day, perhaps just run an on-stream one shot where I get all of you, the whole group, Tom, XPay, Druid, and Stormy, and I'll just run a game for you guys.
Listen,
because that might be fun. Would love to have any of you. I'd be privileged to have any of you guys. There's so many people. I want to try to convince Kayla to guest one day. But she's still very much in her just playing on Discord. We have a campaign going. It was supposed to be like a one shot, but we have a campaign going with Tark, Kayla, Jana, and Jenna's partner Matt, and it's also been really wonderful. So I'm trying to get Kayla on stream. So yeah, you Kayla.
Kayla. Kayla, it will be okay. Let me just tell you really quick, Kayla, it'll be okay because if Star Kitty can do it, you can do it. Star Kitty was also very, very afraid when she went to go on camera and committed to a full ass campaign. So if you're afraid, and now she's starting her own channel and is streaming. Okay.
I heard.
If you have any questions or concerns or just want somebody to talk to, you know, Star Kitty is a great person to ask those kinds of questions to. Shout out to Star Kitty. There's my plug. Look how seamless that plug was.
Seamless plug. For one. Let's go.
I will unabashedly shout out Star Kitty. Yes. 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 It's like literally Monday. So exciting. For real though, like Star Kitty is a great person to talk to if you are afraid, but you should just do it. It'll be awesome.
That's what I
We'd
said.
Love to see it.
I think it's just getting comfortable with like the RP, you all learning all the rules and stuff is a big adjustment for people.
Mm-hmm.
At their own time. But I'd love to have Kayla. I'd love to have any of you guys. That would all be very wonderful. And then there's some IRL friends that I have in town. I'd love to have get on and pop in for a couple guest offs. We've had Citrus. I'd love to have Citrus back again. At this point, we're kind of going to be having a lot of guests on because we're kind of looking to fill a fourth place without like actively filling the fourth place yet. So we're kind of trying people out and seeing how they go with the party chemistry and going from there. There's like a long list of guests that's like 10, 20 people long at this point, and you guys are right at the top. So need to make that happen. I also like, yeah, if people are like nice enough to have me on their stream, like those are obviously the people I'm going to ask first to come guest on mine because like it's a big deal to invite folks over, and like, yeah, no, it's super cool.
Well, you know, yeah, it's
big list.
There's nothing but time as we navigate the river of Twitch together. So it's, without a doubt,
it's a fun one.
It will happen, you know, in the future if we want to make it happen. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it would be great to have any of you guys on there. Absolutely.
I agree. I think it would be amazing, and it would be an honor and a treat. It, just like it's been an honor and a treat to have you on again for the second time. Mm-hmm. Rusty, you're just a beautiful, wonderful person, and you're doing great. And
nice.
I appreciate all your success stories and all the stuff you shared with us today. Is there any last things that you want to say or ask or talk to?
I do have like one question, but I do want to say thank you for having me in the first place and inviting me on, especially for your birthday. That's a big deal.
Big
happy birthday for Stormy.
Happy birthday, Stormy.
Made my birthday, and my birthday ain't even here yet. It's been great. I truly had a good time. I would say, my only question would be, if you could change anything about the way the Lysandros appearance went, what would you change? And it can't be not killing me. That needs to happen. That happens one way or another. If there was like an interaction you would have liked to see happen or anything like that, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
I'll let Druid answer that one first. That's a hard question. I'll be honest. I'll go first. It's not a hard question for me. I wouldn't change a thing. I thought it was phenomenal.
Yeah, it worked really well with our characters too. I just like I obviously just want to have more like RP interactions with people. I think that's just always my biggest complaint is that if I don't get to do enough RP interaction, but that's just who I am as a D&D-er. I just want to talk to you in character. Like, that's all I want to do.
We had some fun back and forths, you and I, because we didn't exactly see eye to eye on a lot of stuff. And that was kind of a fun dynamic to play with.
Yeah, I like Thera's, like, kind of abrasive-ish, you know? But like, when you read... fucking character!
Autofocus!
But yeah, no, it was fun. It was great. I can't really think of anything other than more RP time, damn it.
I'm cool with that. That's a perfectly acceptable answer. I honestly had so much fun. And like, we had a pretty long session too, if I'm not mistaken. Like,
we went a little over 4 hours, like 4.5 hours.
Yeah, that's long even for me. Like on my games, my cutoff is like 3, maybe 4 hours max. After that, I start to struggle as a DM. So Stormy, good on you for keeping it going for that long.
Oh, thank you. When I'll be honest, when I was younger, you can ask Darkity. There been a few times IRL where we get together with some friends, start at noon and quit at like 1 a.m.
Oh, okay. That's damn.
Yeah, and with these guys actually, we like you, we actually did some you know, we played a few sessions before we streamed it for the Isles in the Mist campaign, and if I remember correctly,
we did some like
8 hours, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Damn. Yeah, we were sitting there. We were like crammed. Like, this is when we were still in California too, so we were crammed in this room, and like I remember Fate and I like having two whole separate meals, like while we were on camera. And like with you guys, we were playing, and it was wild.
Yeah, no, I've done one long game like that, and they're not quite for me.
No, I get it. Trust me, I get it. It definitely
takes a lot
of
trouble.
I mean, as I've gotten it's a lot harder to pull off now. It definitely because you know it takes a lot of mental energy, and so.
But I'm also like in my campaign, I'm a meticulous over planner. People tell me I'm good at improvising, and it's like, I am not good at improvising. I have prepared for every eventuality and have notes and encounters and maps always just ready. Like I work myself into a little bit of a frenzy trying to prep for my games. And I do all my prep Monday, the day of. Like, we stream it at 7 and I'm prepping from 9 a.m. until 7 p.m. That's literally how the routine had to work out because of my work schedule. So kind of got a little crazy there, but I find I can't I would struggle to make content for more than 3 hours with it because I just can't do that much prep in a single day. For the finale, which lasted 5 hours almost on the money, that's literally because like Peter had to wake up at 5 a.m. for work because he's in the military. Like we went right till midnight and I was like, I gotta end this. Like I can't keep this going any longer. So like we had 3 guest appearances and by the 3.5 hour mark, I was feeling the burnout. I also had a horrific lung, throat and ear infection I picked up while traveling to Ohio, and talking for 5 hours straight with like an absolute mess of a lung infection was kind of awful, but like we had so much fun and I wasn't missing that for anything. But yeah, no, 5 hours is way too long.
Well, another thing I'll say the reverse of that is it's been too short that we've got to spend time with you today.
Yeah.
It's always a pleasure for no matter how much time it is.
Agreed. Agreed. And I'm so confident that there will be future collabs between us and you and what you're doing. If and when we want to make that happen. And
I need to make that happen. There's so many people I need to just return the love to and get them on the stream. Nerdhala had me on hers, a good guested on Goblets and Warlocks for a while. And Insomnia Knight was nice enough to invite me into his Fallout campaign. So I have a long list of people, including you guys, that I gotta, return some love to. And if I can get you guys on to play D&D with me, I would love that. You're all wonderful players.
Shoot messages anytime.
I'm planning. I'm hoping to run our first one shot before the new campaign, so like early September, maybe first few weeks of October, and then have that be like the event that leads to the new campaign, so it'll all be connected. So I'd love to have you guys on like a interconnected spin-off episode somehow. We're gonna make that work.
Intriguing. Thanks for sharing this on stream.
that's the hope. Like if I can ever get anybody, that's kind of what we're doing. It's just these like one-off that are connected to the story and affect it in a way. Yeah. So like if I could have any of y'all, I would be truly blessed to do so.
Awesome. Yeah, we will discuss more for sure. I love it.
For sure.
And with that, it's sad to say, it's time to wrap up. Thank you, Rusty, for coming on the show today. It's been a treasure and a treat.
It was an absolute treat.
Thank everyone, you guys go support this amazing, wonderful DM and human being. Give him all your love and support on Twitch. Thanks again,
buddy. You guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'll see you guys in the chat after. Bye. Bye, everybody.
It's always a little bit bittersweet at the end.
It always is. It always is. It's awful.
But it's wonderful. You know, we get to hang out and spend time with good friends and get to know them better and share them with all of our other good friends. And what Rusty said earlier was just true. It's amazing how many friend circles that Twitch has helped all of us create in our lives. You know? When is part 3 again? Oh, you're talking about part 3 of the birthday stream? Probably going to be at either 4:30 or probably around 4:30 p.m. Central Time is what we're looking at. And we'll figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah, there's going to be some last minute changeroo. So keep an eye out.
Yeah. Yeah. Druid, who we have on next week?
Plague Dragon. Woo-hoo! From the Plague Pals Twitch channel. A collective group of awesome people.
Yes.
And we got on Plague Dragon, who goes by Emily. I know. So that next week, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, we're super excited. I am a huge fan of Emily, especially after being able to play the Aliens TTRPG over on Old Man Garrus's channel with her. Just fantastic person, fantastic creator. So we're so excited.
Agreed. Agreed. Can't wait. It's gonna be a treat. She's a talented woman. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. So blessed.
All righty. Well, that's it for today. You ready to wrap things up, Druid? Sorry, I'm thinking of her, and that's what came to mind.
I know. I'm just like, I mean, I'm thrilled by that. That's such a compliment. Anyways, go ahead.
Thank you for coming to the show.
Please drop a like, subscribe, and comment down below.
If you're listening to the podcast,
please rate and review the episode.
We are Bandwidth
and Banter.
Thank you.
And good night.
Bye.